Let's play a word association game this morning. I'll say a word or two, and you notice the images and thoughts that just pop into your mind. Are you ready? Mary Magdalene. What'd you think of? What thoughts came to mind? A visionary or a harlot? An apostle? Girlfriend of Jesus? I know ever since Dan Brown's The Da Vinci Code hit the market in the book form and later with the movie screen, it's been popular to fantasize that the church hierarchy kept secret that Mary Magdalene was the wife of Jesus, making their descendant the Holy Grail. Some of you might remember several years back, there was quite a stir over the film on the Discovery Channel by James Cameron, who was the director for the movie Titanic. It's about a tomb they found over in Israel near Jerusalem holding an ossuary. Now, an ossuary is a small stone box that Jewish people used in Jesus' day to bury the bones of their deceased loved ones. They first put the body in a cave or a tomb. A year later, they would go back when there was nothing there but bones and collect them and put them in these ossuary boxes. There are many, many tombs. Thousands of ossuaries have been found. But this particular tomb had an ossuary that had four engraved names on it. And the names were Jesus, son of Joseph, Maria, which is the Hebrew and then in Latin, Mary, Marimene, which can be translated as Mary of Magdalene, and Jude or Judah. So the film was suggesting that this could have been the family tomb of Jesus himself, his mother Mary, his wife Mary Magdalene, and their son Jude. And while there's still some debate over those ossuaries, most scholars consider them to be fake. We also don't know who wrote the Gospel of John. Consensus view among New Testament scholars today is that it was produced by what was a marginal, kind of fringe Christian community at that time. But whoever wrote John's gospel knew very well that there were competing claims to apostolic authority among the various churches. Utmost in every Christian community was the question, which apostle should we follow? James, the brother of Jesus, head of the Jerusalem church? Peter? What about this Paul fellow? And some said, why not Mary? In John's gospel, Mary Magdalene is the first to encounter the spirit of the risen Christ. And she's the first to be an evangelist and report it to the male disciples. She says to them, I have seen the Lord. In fact, John is the only New Testament gospel in which Mary actually speaks. There she is portrayed positively. But in the seven other gospels that didn't make it into the canon, the Gnostic, so-called Gnostic gospels, Mary has a lot to say. She is there a spiritual leader in the Jesus movement. She's a risk taker, a preacher, a visionary, a prime interpreter of the Jesus message. These so-called Gnostic gospels were buried by disobedient monks in the fourth century who had been ordered by their superiors to destroy them. They were discovered, thankfully, along the banks of the Nile River near Nag Hammadi, Egypt in 1945, and they have caused us to rethink early Christianity. One example, the Gospel of Philip states this, Maria the Magdalene, the Savior loved her more than all the disciples, and he used to kiss her on her mouth. Now be careful. Please note, kissing on the mouth is a metaphor. It's a metaphor for passing along wisdom about what's divine. It goes on to say, the male disciples said to Jesus, why do you love her more than us? The Savior replies, why do I not love you like her? If a blind man and one who sees are both in the dark, they do not differ from each other. When the light comes, then the one who sees will see the light, but the one who is blind will remain in the dark. In other words, in this book, It's Mary that gets Jesus, at least spiritually, while the men folk are still in the dark. I don't do this often, but I know you, like me, we were not raised on Gnostic Gospels. We've not heard them or read them very much. I know we've studied them here at the church. So we're not as familiar with them. The world is becoming familiar with them. So I want to read an extended part of the Gospel of Mary, Mary Magdalene. The words will be up above, but if you have trouble seeing it, just listen. About three paragraphs. This is what we read. The male disciples were distressed and wept greatly. How are we going to go out to the rest of the world to announce the good news about the kingdom of the human one, Jesus Christ? They said, if they didn't spare him, how will they spare us? And then Mary stood up. She greeted them all, addressing her brothers and sisters. Do not weep and be distressed, nor let your hearts waver. For Christ's grace will be with you all and will shelter you. Rather, we should praise the greatness, for Christ has unified us and made us true human beings. When Mary said these things, she turned their mind toward the good, and they began to debate the words of the Savior. Peter said to Mary, Sister, we know that the Savior loved you more than all other women. Tell us the words of the Savior that you remember, the things which you know that we don't because we haven't heard them. Mary responded, I will report to you as much as I remember that you don't know. And she began to speak these words to them. She said, I saw the Master in a vision, and I said to him, Master, I saw you today in a vision. He answered me, Congratulations to you for not wavering on seeing me. For where the mind is, there is the treasure. I said to him, So now, Master, does a person who sees a vision see it with the soul or with the spirit? The Savior answered, A person does not see with the soul or with the spirit, rather with the mind, which exists between these two, sees the vision. Andrew said, Brothers and sisters, what is your opinion of what she just said? I, for one, do not believe that the Savior said these things. For what she said appears to give views that are different from what Jesus thought as we know it. After examining these matters, Peter said, Has the Savior spoken secretly to a woman and not openly so that we should all hear? Surely he didn't want to show that she is more worthy than we men are. Then Mary wept and said to Peter, My brother Peter, what are you imagining? Do you think that I have made all this up by myself or that I am telling lies about the Savior? Levi said to Peter, Peter, you're always ready to give in to your inclination to anger. And even now you're doing exactly that by questioning the woman as if you're her adversary. For if the Savior made her worthy, just who do you think you are to reject her? For he knew her completely and loved her steadfastly. The Gospel of Mary Magdalene from chapters 5, 6, and 7. Well, if Mary Magdalene was indeed a leader in the early church, possibly the disciple closest to Jesus, then what happened to her? Why is she not even mentioned in the book of Acts, Luke's history of the early church? By the second century, the Orthodox Church Father Tertullian would say, it was a woman who was a sinner who tried to touch Jesus at the tomb, not even mentioning her name. Jerome, the writer of the first official Bible in the fourth century, would say, Mary Magdalene doubted it was Jesus on that first Easter morning, and that is why Jesus told her not to touch him. Church leader Gregory of Nyssa would associate Mary Magdalene with Eve. And according to some early men theologians, Eve was responsible for the fall of the whole human race. But the clincher came in a sermon by Pope Gregory in the 6th century. where he talks about Mary Magdalene, but first he quotes from Song of Solomon, that sexually charged writing. And then he connects Mary with the unnamed woman in Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, who had the seven demons, remember? Finally, the Pope declares that the one Luke calls a sinful woman is the same one John calls Mary Magdalene. And what exactly was her sin? As stated by Pope Gregory, it's clear, brothers, this woman previously used ointment to perfume her body in forbidden acts. After Gregory's sermon, the reputation of Mary Magdalene was set in history. The one who originally could have been the first apostle, the first to experience the presence of the risen Christ, the first to share good news, who correctly interpreted Jesus' wisdom, had been turned into a former prostitute. You talk about a smear campaign on a church leader's reputation. We know why it happened. The Mary Magdalene tradition got buried, literally, at Nag Hammadi in an attempt to silence the voice of the first apostle who was a woman. And when they could not get rid of all the Mary stories, they reinterpreted them to turn a leader in the early Jesus movement into a harlot who needed repentance. Then they could ignore her spiritual leadership and instead honor her with shrines and relics and churches named after her, which is the same way that Christians have managed to avoid Jesus often through the years. So what difference does it make who Mary Magdalene was or what happened to her reputation? Because it puts the contemporary struggles of women, especially in the traditional world of religion, in focus. Mary Magdalene is a multi-billion dollar business today. And yet how many Marys today still have to deal with poverty, lack of recognition and education, exploitation, and patriarchy? Knowing the real Mary and her gospel can lead us to join the struggles of women in the world today for justice. Gospel stories, both those included in the Bible and those that were left out, like the Gospel of Mary, along with the personal stories of women and men in our congregation and in the world, all point to the ways of our understanding of how justice changes. It changes because we either experience the injustice ourselves, when we feel what it's like not to be counted, to be marginalized or ignored or hurt by people and institutions and systems, or when we finally realize someone else is not being counted, respected, or recognized for their gifts. Stories lift up our awareness, awaken our imagination, and that changes our perception of the world, and we're never the same again. Sometimes our concepts of justice change because of a law like Title IX. Do you remember how opposed so many were to that when it first came out? Or what about inclusive language when we started bringing that into our churches? What an uproar that was. And when women started being accepted into professions where they had previously been barred, including the ministry. Justice is a moving target, isn't it? But sometimes change happens. Women did finally get the right to vote and to have credit cards and to become ordained ministers. Sometimes change wants to happen. We say to women that you should have maternity paid leave, and yet reality doesn't always match up with the promise. And sometimes we slip backwards on justice, when we elect a misogynist as president, or the Pope refuses to allow women into the priesthood. But I still believe that a woman will be president someday, and I hope soon. And that a woman like Mary Magdalene will take her rightful place again as the first apostle. How does Pope Mary sound? Let's sing, folks.